Okay. I don't know, these meetings are regular meetings or not, these Monday night times. I think it has been roughly monthly, something like this. I'm glad to see all of you. And even though now I'm have not been up there in NorCal as regularly as I have been doing for many years, but still by Zoom, to be able to see you all, it's very, very gratifying. Based on that clip you saw from the BFA webinar, and then also some fellowship just now on the migration, I think you put all these together, there should be a very clear impression in all of us that these days, in the Lord's recovery here in the USA, the Lord is desirous to advance in a particular way. And that is to be to lift up your eyes, as the Lord said in chapter 4 of John, to look at the harvest. You know, he said, lift up your eyes, the fields are white and ready for harvest. Which is what the Lord himself had just done, to do a certain kind of reaping of that harvest. Particularly with this one woman, and that is was the Samaritan woman, this chapter 4 of John. And he considered that the salvation of that lady, his doing the will of God. You know, you remember he asked, told the disciples, rather the disciples went and get some food, and he brought the food back to Jesus. And Jesus said, I have food that I ate already. I don't need this food in a way. He said, my food is to do the will of God. And clearly referencing chapter 4, how he got this Samaritan lady saved. This is a very, very touching thing in that the Lord was led actually to detour, make a detour in his journey to go to this specific place, this well there in this town or village, just to meet this one woman and had this long one-on-one conversation with her, and eventually cause her to be saved, to drink of himself as the living water. And of course, you should go back to that story to remind yourself of what the Lord did in that, what you would call a gospel conversation he had with this woman, very slowly, very carefully, point by point, eventually leading this sinful woman to God. And also you should realize that the Lord said also that one would sow, the other would reap, and both would rejoice together, right? Referring to the fact that this woman was actually a mixed blooded Samaritan, a mixture of the Jews with Jewish blood, and some, who knows, Babylonian blood or whatever it may be, mixed blooded, who as such subscribed to the law of Moses, at least was aware of the law of Moses, and even talking about this mountain or that mountain and so on, showing that this lady was prepared. Had a religious background of Jewish worship. and so was able to carry on a kind of a meaningful dialogue with the Lord. And the Lord leveraged that or used that conversation eventually to bring her to what? To know the real living God. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth or reality. Then turning to talk about, you know, following her in her conversation, to talk about the water, because it started out, the Lord asked for a drink, and then that's how the conversation started and continued, eventually revealing a grand revelation, a profound revelation, how if you drink this water, the water will be within you a well, springing up into eternal life, and in there fully revealing God's divine dispensing with the God himself as the fountain, right? And Christ himself being the spring, and the Spirit being the flow. And if we drink of this living water or receive this divine dispensing, we will have eternal life as our goal. And that eternal life, as we know, is actually the New Jerusalem, the consummation of the divine life and the work of that life. So then he had this conversation with the disciples after that. Well, I'm not here just because we're talking this way. I am very, very impressed again that even with the Lord's gospel preaching, he took the one-to-one way, one-on-one way. Actually, the one-on-one way, brothers, is the most prevailing way. It's the Lord's way, the personal way, the direct way, the deliberate way, to save one soul, to save one person. And this person was saved. But listen, after this person drank of the water, she threw down her bucket and ran into the city. You know, she was a woman of ill repute, you know, so many husbands and so on, was an immoral lady. And yet, after having drunk of that living water, she forgot about all of that. You know, she came out during noontime to get water. No one does that. It was in the Middle East. It's very hot. Most ladies come out in sunset at dusk to gather water, but she would go alone in the day because she was ashamed. But after she got saved, she just threw down the bucket and ran into the city and caused the city to all come to the Lord Jesus to see what is going on, showing that actually the Lord did not just save one person. Eventually, the Lord saved a whole village by saving that one person. You see, there's actually a host of principles here, marvelous principles here that we can pick up and learn from in our present day gospel preaching. Actually, this is what we're talking about, brothers. When we are so burdened for the gospel these days, we do not mean in the gospel preaching in a way of a movement or in a way of some a short-lived campaign or just a kind of a temporal stirring up, a temporal zeal. There's nothing wrong with this. But look at the Lord and let's take the Lord's way. This is the Lord's way, one person at a time. One person at a time, inconveniencing himself, sacrificing himself, making a detour, and one-on-one talking to this woman. This is one of the longest and most profound conversation in the New Testament that the Lord had with anybody. And the result was not only this woman was gained in a solid way, but a whole village was gained. So, brothers, this is the way to bear remaining fruit. I will, how should I say, I will come back to this point. Let me say something about, because you also mentioned migration just now, the two brothers. I also like to say something to you because of my engagement as a worker with the GTCA move, that of the 300 saints that we hope to see will migrate this round to these 10 cities, by the end of next year, the end of 2021. We blew the trumpet in the last winter, at the start of 2020, and this will be a two-year endeavor. And so this, we hope accomplish this migration by the end of next year. So far, from what I heard, over 110 have moved already to these cities. That means then still need to be 190. Now, we know for a fact that many saints, as we speak, are actually earnestly praying and fellowshipping about such migration. And we still have a year and 2 months, or a year and a month ahead of us. So we are very encouraged and very hopeful that we will have 300, Gideon's 300, right? 300 saints that will migrate by the end of next year. I agree with the brothers that none of us should think that I will never migrate. I'm for this or that reason. We should not say that. I think we should all pray for this migration and open to the Lord if the Lord would touch us or even send us to one of these 10 cities. The more I am engaged and in fellowship with the brothers in these cities, the more fellowship there were, the more I am very, very thankful to the Lord that this burden, present burden, to go to the heartland of America, the middle part of America, including these mountain states, including the Midwest, including the Southeast, which cover basically all of the Bible Belt area, is really, really something of the Lord in a very timely way, very timely way. Let me give an example. I just got off the phone this afternoon in this monthly phone call with a brother in one of the cities, and that would be Columbia, South Carolina. I don't know how many of you have been to South Carolina, maybe not that many. And the more we pray, the more we fellowship, the more we are stirred up and burdened and hopeful with concerning that state. After half a century of the church life in this country, that state of South Carolina has at the most 50 active saints, 50 active saints, and not any strong testimony of the church life. They have in Columbia, in another small place called Simpsonville. There's some scattered saints in a group of saints in Charleston. You all know Charleston, South Carolina. But as a state, for all these years, there has not been a prevailing lampstand or testimony there. And you just know that it is ripe. That state is ripe for the taking, for the Lord's recovery to spread there. Brother Lee said that he is so burdened for the so-called Bible Belt because there are still many Christians there. And because of so many Christians, there must be the seeking ones among them. And he was very burdened for the seekers of God, of Christ, that they would come to know something deeper in the Bible, in the Word, and even to know something concerning God's purpose and God's economy. And even some would be led to come into the Lord's recovery in the church life. And so after I finished that call, I told the brothers, I said, now I'm super burdened for Columbia, South Carolina. And actually one of the brothers here is going to go there among you. I don't know whether, do the brothers know about that? Is it a secret that I should not divulge? It's not a secret, huh? Okay. Wonderful. John Pang. Is John Pang here in this room? I don't know where you are. John Pang from Morgan Hill. He is led by the Lord to move there with his family after Thanksgiving. And I'm very, very happy that this is happening. I'm very, very thankful to the church in Morgan Hill to let this brother go. He is a pillar there in Morgan Hill and for a few years. And now he is, by the way, he works full time for Bibles for America. He will be going there. And I am, I want to tell John, if you are in this room, that this is absolutely the right thing for you to do. I also heard from the brother in Columbia, according to John, talking to him, that Morgan Hill have some burden to adopt Columbia as their sister church to support that. My goodness, whoa, that made my day. That made my day. There's a little church in Northern California that is burdened for Columbia, South Carolina. I mean, if something going to happen in that state of South Carolina in this coming few years, which I believe will happen, my goodness, Morgan Hill has a share in that. And so do all of you in Northern California. So I'm not here now talking about a dream. I'm talking about the Spirit's leading and the Lord's burden that is working out something through the saints here and there, in an organic way. No one is arranging this. It's really the head leading this. So this is just one small snapshot of what is happening. And I told the brothers, John, that I now want to do a conference, a two-meeting conference, just for South Carolina. Just for South Carolina, not even North Carolina or Georgia. Just South Carolina. And however, saints who can use Zoom can all join So in the end, it's not just for South Carolina, but I like to bill it as that, and to call all the saints' attention to that state and to that city. A very, very important move of the Lord in that part of the country. So I just like to mention that to all of you. I am sure that there are other things going on to other cities. I heard there's some saints that moved from Mountain View to Pittsburgh. And I've been in touch with the brothers in Pittsburgh. My goodness, the more I'm with them, the more I just last Lord's Day, two Lord's Days ago, had a Lord's Day morning meeting with all the church with Pittsburgh and all the cities around it, including West Virginia. Do you know the state of West Virginia in Morgantown? Not Morgan Hill, but Morgantown, and with various cities nearby in Pennsylvania. With State College, a place called Danville, Lancaster, Hershey. You may not know these cities in Pennsylvania, but they all came together. What a joy. And this, I tell you, something is going to happen in Pittsburgh, Pittsburgh 2.0, a new move of the Lord in Western Pennsylvania. We all know what's going on, the swing state, this recount, and all this lawsuits going on. That is a critical state in the union, and this is now happening there. So, brothers, I am just giving you some snapshots of what is happening, and I just like to confirm the Lord is moving, and the Lord is with us in the United States. We are really poised for, or at the threshold of a new move of the Lord in this country, in our church life, going out the proclamation of the gospel, not only of grace, but of the kingdom, in the propagation of the truth, all this rich ministry that has been given to us, and also in the vitalization and strengthening of all the local churches in this country. Surely, in my heart, a new day is dawning for America. And we are living at that time right now, the start of a new decade, 2020. And so, brothers, whether you are in Northern California, I'm in Southern California, wherever we may be, we are here as one man, the Lord's recovery as one new man, one man moving together to take this land, to take America. No matter who will be the next president, no matter what the new administration is, my dear brothers, the Lord is moving, and we are moving with him. So I hope these days, brothers, in your church life, where you are, every church in Northern California would be a GTCA church on an ongoing basis, not just these 10 cities, but your city, your church, would be a GTCA church. That the Lord would renew, vitalize your church and the saints in your church. And there would be a fresh endeavor and labor to strengthen the church life and to preach the gospel to gain the increase and to build up prevailing model church, a testimony of Jesus, city by city. I expect that to happen in Northern California. I like to tonight now come back to the matter of the gospel. And these days I am just burdened to death, brothers, by this matter. Now let me say this. I'd like you to now tell you, I've been telling you how to build up a church, a local church. Tonight I'd like to tell you from another angle. Four things you have to do to build up a local church, all right? To strengthen it, to build it up. That's how you build up a church, right? Number one, you have to build up the gospel preaching in your church. You can call it fruit bearing, or you can say it as gaining the increase. But preaching the gospel is the first thing. You say, how do I build up my church? How do I know my church is strong and healthy? I'll tell you the first test, the first gauge is this church a gospel preaching church? I'm making this very, very clear now, brothers. You just think about your church right now. These days, brothers, we all need to start with the gospel. This is where it starts. To build up in your locality, this a constant burden to preach the gospel. And I don't know if the brothers have passed on to you some material, messages by Brother Lee in time past on the matter of the gospel. I hope that, some of the brothers, you can pass it on to these brothers from the book, The Elders' Management of the Church, from something Brother Lee shared in 1962, and so on, and even going all the way back to Brother Watchman Nee in the book Church Affairs. You will find passages, chapters on charging us that for the elders to manage the church, to take a church on, to build up that church, the first thing is to have the gospel as our first direction. And this is what is burdening me to the uttermost nowadays. We somehow think gospel is number last. You know, we have that book called The Four Pillars of the Recovery, right? By Brother Lee, that's such a book. It's truth, life, gospel, and church, those four things. But now I reverse the order. I say gospel is number one. Gospel is number one. Brothers, we have to build up a church, and we ourselves have to take the lead to what? To be active in the gospel, to strive in the gospel, to bear fruit in the gospel, to bring in new ones and increase into the church through the gospel. To the spread of the kingdom through the gospel, this is the book of Acts, must be a continual, constant matter. And we need to direct the saints in this way. And so we, brothers, not only elders, but the responsible brothers, all of us must lead the brothers and sisters in that zeal, in that fervor. It's a fire. Gospel is a fire that need tending to. You need to fan it. You need to add wood. You need to keep the fire lit and aflame. Otherwise, it will die out. It will die out. So we do have churches, the gospel fire in which has died out a long time ago. There's no gospel spirit. There's no gospel burden. There's no. In fact, some churches that have spiritual saints there, saints who love the Lord, they are spiritual, and even they have even mature saints, but they have lost the burden of the gospel. And let me tell you, that church is not healthy. That church is not balanced. That church will not be strong and prevailing. In fact, after a while, such a church will become old because it has no new blood. Such a church will will dwindle because there's no new material for the building up of that church. And so while we need to pursue the growth in life, while we need to pursue to know the truth, dear brothers and brothers, as far as the church life today is concerned, for the Lord to have a way in America, to have a new beginning in America, all the churches have to rise up to be a gospel-preaching church or a fruit-bearing church. It is just wrong to not be burdened for the gospel. It is wrong to be cold towards the gospel. It's wrong to be have no feeling, to be indifferent about this matter. This is wrong. This is not according to God's heart's desire, who want all men to be saved. So I would like to really spend more time here and there just on this first thing. It may take us months, it will take a year, it will take us 2 years, but until we build up a new kind of church life where the gospel is primary. So our church life has to be people-centered. Our church life has to be hot. And actually, a lot of problem of oldness, of deadness, of barrenness, of invitality will be solved, will be healed by the whole church burdened for the gospel in a constant and continual way. You trust me. Not to mention that this is the church's commission, divine commission from the resurrected Christ, that is to go and disciple the nations. And oh, brothers, I will tell you, USA is more ready than ever before. 325 million population. I tell you, the situation around us in society, brothers, this country is ready for the gospel. It needs gospel, the gospel of salvation and the gospel of God's kingdom. And we have it. We have all this truth. We have all these riches. We must find ways, and we will find ways. In Bibles for America, we are very, very much laboring right now to find a way to help the saints reach out. And we're doing this gospel page. We're going to do more things to help the saints to target zip codes, to get the Bibles out, and from the recipients of the Bible to find the seeking ones who would do Zoom Bible studies with us. Really, really. They're doing that in England in a very successful way. The saints. And amongst those who are would study the word with us, with the recovery version, with the ministry, at the right time, we will bring them together for some a particular meeting, or to lead them into our homes, and firstly our homes, and then to our small groups, and into our church life, and so on and so forth. There are many, many such people waiting for us, waiting for our message. Brothers, this is the truth. This is the truth. The second thing to build up the church, brothers, is shepherding. You can write this down, okay? The first thing is fruit bearing, gospel preaching. The second thing is shepherding, to build up your church as a shepherding church. A shepherding church. Some saints, they are stronger in the gospel. The others may be stronger in the matter of shepherding. But all of us will be coordinated to do this. My, shepherd what? I'll tell you. Shepherd the junior hires, yes. Shepherd our young people. Shepherd our college-age saints. Shepherd our full-timers. Shepherd the believers. Shepherd some backslidden ones. Shepherd some dormant ones. We will not run out of people to care for and shepherd. Brothers, this is to build up our local church, to become a shepherding church, shepherding the Lord's sheep. That's it. This is to build up the church. Now, two more points. The third one, we must build up our meetings, the church meetings. And what kind of meetings are you talking about? The Lord's table. We need actually more training on the Lord's table. It's a very important meeting. Actually, it's not a meeting. It's a meal, right? It's a supper. It's a dinner. But we do assemble together for that. So it is a kind of meeting, and we need to build that up. This breaking bread is the first thing we continue steadfastly in the church in Jerusalem. They continue steadfastly in the breaking of bread. So we need to strengthen the Lord's table meeting. Then we need to strengthen the prayer meeting. The prayer meeting. How to build up a local church? You build up the prayer of that church. You build up the prayer meeting of that church. Nowadays, the attendance of the prayer meeting is still on the lower side as a percentage of the Lord's Day attendance. We need to build it up. Don't just say, that's just how it is. Nobody comes. What can we do? No, it's a matter of directing the church and building that church up, helping the saints, you see. And then the third one is what we call the prophesying meeting, right? I would say that is actually that is the church building meeting, according to 1 Corinthians 14, that we need to have to build up that meeting. I would say there's another two kinds of meeting we need to build up. Number one, the group meetings, right? The group meetings in the homes. We need to build that up. Not just some old home meetings or old group meetings, but really, really vibrant, increasing, shepherding, mutual kind of a meeting. We need to build that up. Many of you, I think, still today have a third meeting on Lord's Day. Do you still have that, brothers? That is an important meeting, brothers, I'll tell you. I call it a preaching-teaching meeting. Preaching-teaching meeting. As a way to help the younger ones and the newer ones in the basic matters of life and truth. Very, very important as a gateway for them to come in. This is for edification, for their edification. Now, however we do it, brothers, build up the meeting life. The church is ecclesia, an assembly of the called out ones. The called out ones. And lastly, the last thing to build up is the services of your church. The services of your church. There would be the spiritual service. There's also, right, the practical service. And these two things are interrelated. You know, if your church has a meeting hall, you need saints that will oversee, help with the cleaning and the maintenance, or you may have a ushering, you may have the book room, right? The book room to promote the ministry to us. You have a children's service. You have a audiovisual service. You have now today internet IT service. All these practical auxiliary things are also very important in our practical church life to build up. But I list this as number four. Okay. Of course, the bigger the church, the more you need to build these things up. But brothers, if you ask me today, how do you build up a local church? Build up these four areas over time. Okay? You build up these four areas. Gospel preaching, shepherding, the meeting life, the meetings of the church, and finally, the service of the church. That's how you build up the church. So brothers, lot of work to do, and I don't know, maybe I'm some kind of workaholic, maybe I'm like that, but when I have nothing to do, I feel terrible. You know, this pandemic, this lockdown, if I have nothing to do, I think I will become what they say, crazy or stir crazy, right? They call it stir crazy. I will go absolutely crazy. But thank the Lord, we have Zoom, we have this and that. I am, rather than having nothing to do, nowadays I'm more busy than ever before. The more busy I am with the saints, with this and that, the more energized I am, the more living I am. So brothers, I would even say, don't wait to be vitalized. Be active. Engage, be involved, and do these things in the church, you will be vital. It's chicken and egg. You say, I'm not vital, so I cannot carry out the gospel. Well, you go and preach the gospel. I promise you, you'll be vitalized. Go take care of somebody, and you'll forget your own problems. Brothers, we must move in this direction, right? I have a lot to say, but I don't know what to say. You know, we have about 10 minutes more to this fellowship. I come back to this matter of the gospel. I come back to this. The church in Philippi, you know, or the book of Philippians. When we read it, most of us gravitate towards chapter 3, right? Of Paul, or chapter 2 and 3, of Paul, talking about the mind of Christ and talk and so on. And in chapter 3, a really top chapter on pursuing Christ, of counting everything as refuse and pursuing the Lord, and so on. Well, yes, the book of Philippians is a book on the enjoyment of Christ. There's no doubt about that. But chapter 1, I want you to point you to chapter 1 of Philippians. In such a book of enjoying Christ, Paul's main point in that chapter was what was the gospel. Brothers, enjoying Christ and preaching the gospel are not mutually exclusive. They must actually go on hand in hand. I see saints, I enjoy Christ, I enjoy the Lord. They never preach the gospel. They don't have burden for sinners. They don't spend time to contact people. They don't care. But they say, oh, I enjoy the Lord. I enjoy the Lord. Every day they enjoy the Lord. Well, it's wonderful to enjoy the Lord. But brothers, why do we enjoy the Lord? What, you know, Paul enjoyed the Lord very much. You know, I don't think anyone of us enjoyed the Lord more than Paul. But look, Paul, what? Paul not only enjoyed the Lord, Paul is constantly living for the gospel, for the gospel. Of course, you say he's an apostle, he's an evangelist, whatever. But brothers, this is Paul. Here in chapter 1 of Philippians at the end, he said this. He said, only conduct yourself in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. Like chapter 1. Live, conduct yourself, behave yourself in a way worthy of the gospel of Christ. It's like the gospel is the standard, is the standard to measure everything by. Measure your living, to measure, you know, our manner of life. Is it worthy of that? Worthy of what? Worthy of the gospel. That was the word to the Philippians. Of course, before this, Paul was appraising them for what? For their fellowship with the apostle for the furtherance of the gospel from the first day. Paul remembers that. They fellowship with Paul for the preaching of the gospel. And then he said, in my bonds, in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, you are fellow partakers with me of grace. That means you all are sharing my burden in the preaching of the gospel. Paul was thankful for this. This is a good church. This is a right church. And then at the end of that chapter, conduct yourself in a manner worthy of this gospel, the gospel of Christ. Then he said this, whether coming and seeing you or being absent, I may hear of the things concerning you. Well, you say, what things? What things was Paul referring to? Listen, that you stand firm in one spirit, with one soul, striving together along with the faith of the gospel. What will make the apostle happy? To hear that you're standing firm in one spirit, and you're even striving together with one soul, along with the faith of the gospel. This faith here is like a personified person almost, right? The church in Philippi is a church that stands in one spirit, striving with one soul along with the personified gospel, as if the gospel is a person there. Brothers, this is the church in Philippi. And I think about it. I said, Lord, make this us, you know, make this our case. I just want to stir up this zeal within all of us. All right. Now, I'll give you another example. The other example is the case of Thessalonica. You know Thessalonica, where Paul spent 3 weeks there. He spent 3 years in Ephesus, but only 3 weeks in Thessalonica. And in chapter 1 again, he said, listen to this. You became a pattern to all those who believe in Macedonia and in Achaia. That's the entire Greece. Macedonia and Achaia, that's Greece, the whole of Greece. For from you, the word of the Lord has sounded out, not only in Macedonia and in Achaia, but in every place. Your faith toward God has gone out so that we have no need to say anything. Wow, If Paul would say something about the church in Irvine, I would be thrilled. Paul here saying, you are famous. You Thessalonica, you are a pattern in what? The word of the Lord sounded out from you all over Greece, in every place. Your faith toward God has gone out. This is a gospel-preaching church, brothers, in Thessalonica. This is the model church, Thessalonica. And that caused Paul's joy, to have great joy and pride and boasting in Christ, that there is such a church. Brothers, I just want to burden you, stir you up, whatever it may be. Now, we do need to fellowship more concerning how to do this, right? How to do this. Now, tonight, we don't have all the time. I would just say this one thing. Number one, we ourselves have to be zealous. We ourselves have to be on fire. We ourselves have to what? Be desperate to do this ourselves. And don't say, I'm not an evangelist. I'm not good at the gospel. I'm not a fisher. No, we're not asking for Billy Graham here, okay? We're not asking for D.L. Moody here. We're talking about just a brother, just burden for the Lord's gospel, for men, for increase, for people's salvation. To not feel that way is abnormal, unhealthy, not worthy, dear brothers. And number two, we ourselves should take the lead to do something. And there are many things we can do. Many things we can do now, especially we have all this material from BFA, all for our use. And I would like to say that in this matter, we need to have a new a special consecration to the Lord, we all, rather than just going on in the routine church life. Lord, I want to give you a new oath, a new vow and consecration in this very matter of bearing fruit. Lord, I want to bear fruit. I'm not going to tell the saints to bear fruit. Lord, I want to bear fruit for you as a branch in the vine. Don't cut me off. Don't put me in the fire. Lord, I want to abide in you to bear fruit. And then you need to what? You need to, with this consecration, you need to make a commitment. And that commitment would include what? Prioritizing your time, my time. I have so many, we all have the same amount of time. But brothers, it depends. What's important is what we prioritize, right? Time management is about prioritizing things. Is this matter of contacting people, reaching them with the gospel, bearing fruit, is that priority? If that is a priority, that will be reflected in our time, in our schedule, in our budget. So, brothers, this is the second thing. The third thing I mentioned already is to what? After you have prioritized. You know, brothers, let me tell you, is going to a meeting more important than visiting someone with the gospel more important? If you ask the saints, I would say going to the meeting is more important. That's why we're still going to the meetings. It's at 10 o'clock on Lord's Day. It's set. I will go. I'll be there. But we have no set time. We don't treat preaching the gospel, contacting people like a meeting. Not like a meeting. Because we prioritize the meeting. I cannot miss the meeting, so I do it. But gospel, no. Whether you want to do it or not, it's optional. Whether you forget about it, no problem. So we are good meters. We are a bunch of good meters. But we have not built up a life of preaching the gospel, of contacting people. So that's the problem. I would say preaching the gospel should be as high as meeting. Brotherly Nee in 1949 in the book Church Affairs said that to have Sunday morning service is like the following the ways of the nation. He said Lord's Day should be for gospel preaching. He said that. He actually said that. And our moving, you know, we used to have Lord's table in the evening. Now we move the Lord's table to the morning, you know, since in the 80s. You know why? You know why we did that? It's so that to free up the Lord's Day afternoon for the saints to go care for people, to visit people. But you know what happened? That we didn't go to visit people. We have another night for ourselves. Brothers, you see, I'm trying to point out something here. We need to schedule. Brother, I do not know. You know, Brother Martin, you schedule an hour and 10 minutes per week in two mornings. Am I right? 35 minutes one morning on Lord's Day morning, 35 minutes on Wednesday morning or whatever. Those two times, it's set. It's like going to a meeting. You cannot miss it. To do what? He used that time to write emails, to send texts, to send BFA material, whatever he does, to 70-some people on his list. 70-some people on his list. His little Jerusalem. My brothers, if we would treat contacting people with the gospel with such seriousness, with such endeavor, brothers, you will see things happen. You will see the results. And when we do this, my dear brothers, the saints will be touched. You will have testimony to give. You will lead by example. So we need to schedule 1 hour a week. 1 hour a week. I do not believe we don't have 1 hour a week. We spend more than 1 hour a week watching nonsense on our device, you know. Brothers, it's not that we don't have time, but we wasted time. Redeeming time is not to add more time to the time you have, because we all have the same amount of time. It is, I saved those time. I redeemed it, the time that was could be lost. I redeemed it. So it's as if I have more time. Actually, brothers, we have time. Even for the millennials who are raising families, who are taking care of kids, you have time. We have wasted much time because we didn't prioritize this matter. And then you need to budget. You have to budget your hours. You need to budget your energy. You have to budget even your finances. You budget things. You live in a way unto the gospel. Unto the gospel. Brothers, and what do you do? Many things you can do. It depends. You can do what Brother Martin is doing. You know, Brother Lee told us, write down a list of all the friends, relatives, colleagues, neighbors, burden. You start praying for them. And as the Lord leads, you write to them, you send things to them, you contact them. If we would all do a little bit like this, My, I tell you how many people we will touch. Today, with Zoom, it's not even limited by space. You can be contacting someone in South America, am I right? My, isn't that wonderful? This person may not get saved into your church, but he could get saved into some country down there. Oh, by the way, there's a great flooding in Honduras. Do you know that? By that hurricane. Many saints lost their homes and so on. I hope we can contribute to this, brothers, the churches. They really are in need. Flooding. San Pedro, what is the city? San Pedro?
Sula.
So please take care of that. I think there may be a letter that will come out, how to give. Okay. Brothers, budget your time. 1 hour a week. How about start with 1 hour a week? To that time is sanctified, separated, just to contact someone. Just to contact someone. Someone in your heart, someone the Lord put in your heart. There must be someone, right? So we all do this in a personal way, in a direct way. We do this in a regular way, a constant way. This is like a farmer, a farmer's work. It's not by chance. It's not by inspiration. He just does it. A laboring farmer, you see, just plow, just water, just sow the seed, and so on, continually and in a persevering way. Brothers, this is the way. So I'm not talking about stirring up some big gospel campaign in Northern California. We all run out to the streets to do this or that. No, brothers, this is the way to build up the gospel spirit in your church and a gospel preaching church life. When our church, by this kind of exercise, will bring in new ones, new blood. Oh, I tell you, trust me, your church will become living and healthy and happy and joyous and what? Filled with hope and future because of these new materials, these new fruit we brought into the Lord. Okay, I think this is good enough. You know, brothers, I don't have message to give anymore. I just have a burden that we do it. We just activate ourselves in this kind of a way. Amen.